Welcome to WOTI as we look at the Daytime Emmys with your host, Steve Harvey.
How you doing, playa? Look at this. I got this tuxedo 15. Oh, buffering.
Hey, it's better than what I got, Steve. I got no friends of yours are live today. Internet!
Yes.
So, you can tell pretty much what we're going to be discussing, how we're going to be discussing it. However, we also have a group that goes belly up, the biggest secret, we have a little Jeopardy, we got some Survivor, we got some Amazing Race, we've got the final three in RuPaul's Drag Race, we've got Brain Vision, we've got the stars. Who likes stars? You like stars?
Of course. So let's get it kickstarted, Chico.
Let's get it kickstarted. With Gordon Pepper, I'm Chico Alexander, and from somewhere in America, WLTI on Spectrum One is Spectrum On!
I like that.
Welcome to WLTI. I am Gordon Pepper. My star winning the Daytime Emmy Award for Best Supporting Co-host, Mr. Chico Alexander.
It's great to be with you. It's great to see you again, Gordon. It's been a long couple of weeks. And first of all, I want to apologize. I'm still a little bit out of voice. So, yeah, something to deal with.
Out of voice, but not out of action. And winning the award for Best Announcer and Pretty Cool Person from Brooklyn, New York, Mr. Jason Block.
That's cool. And the winner of Best Recording Engineer and Producer of the show from the South Jersey, Mr. Jim Williams.
I thought I lost to the engineer of... never mind. I can't make the joke.
Well, no, you had to win because Philadelphia has to win something.
Oh, you son of a biscuit.
Yes, exactly.
Let's go with the Daytime Emmys.
Yes,
and the winners are Mr. Alexander with the envelopes, please.
I have the envelopes. The winners are anyone who did not show up for the awards ceremony this weekend.
Yay!
Seriously, we had a whole bunch of absence like a couple of years ago, but we didn't have the... we didn't have the red carpet disaster. That was Brittany Ferlin and her two chest-mounted friends. Anywho.
Very good. But we had a bunch of technical issues. But the only two awards that we really give a rat's rear end about...
Well, two and a half. We have to acknowledge Kevin McCarthy of Jeopardy for winning Outstanding Director.
Okay. Very cool. The best game show went to... Fremantle's The Price is Right. This is the first win since 2013, a well-deserved choice.
Indeed. And it solidifies what we've been saying is that ever since Bob Barker turns the show over to Mike Richards, Jennifer Mullen, Drew Carey and company, it's on smooth sailing. It is the anchor by which CBS Daytime has hitched its wheels on, and it's moving, and again, smooth sailing.
You know, as much as the sentimental favorite wasn't one to make a deal, which it is, Price is Right puts on a fantastic show. Every single episode, I would compare it to Let's Make a Deal in terms of an event in every episode. Mike Richards has done a fantastic job with both shows.
He doesn't get the credit he deserves.
And for Price is Right to win, I think it's a good thing. And expected and deserved.
Now, this next thing,
Hold on one second. Jim, you were just about to say?
I was going to say, Mike Richards does not get the credit he deserves with both Let's Make a Deal and Price, as is evident in something I think we're going to talk about when it comes to renewals.
Yes.
So.
We will get to that in a moment, but now we're going to get to something that may split the panel a bit. The Outstanding Game Show host nominees were Brooke Burns, Billy Gardell, Steve Harvey, Wayne Brady, and Craig Ferguson. The winner, for the second year in a row, Craig Ferguson.
I'm sorry. There's no way. No way.
Jason, go.
Okay. To me, there is no way that Wayne Brady has deserved this award for the last 2 years, in my personal opinion. The last two seasons of Let's Make a Deal, he has done an absolutely phenomenal job as host. And I am not, just kissing up per se. I'm being legitimately real here. I just don't think, Fine, whatever. I'm a fanboy. I don't care. I'm honest.
You
about
are
it.
A gigantic flipperholic.
I am.
But Gordon, is Jason, at least in this instance, in the right? Isn't Wayne more deserving than Craig?
No.
Really?
No. I would put, and here's the thing. If you remember, one of the things that I said is, don't be surprised if Craig Ferguson wins again. He is a dark horse, but a legitimate threat to win. Does anybody remember me saying it? Because
yes,
I sure remember me saying
say
that.
It. You did say it, and we all agreed with you. And you know what, Gordon? You're absolutely right. I mean, Wayne Brady has the balance. There is a balance between host, high arbiter, and overall ringmaster, I want to say. There is a balance.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you here. Here's the difference. And you talk about this, and I'll use this since the NBA playoffs are going on. We'll use this as a basketball analogy. You have the Golden State Warriors, who has Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and the supporting cast of stars. And then you have the Cleveland Cavaliers, which is LeBron James and a whole bunch of players that, if it wasn't for LeBron James, would have stats equivalent to a D League.
I can't believe
let's
you forgot to mention Kyrie
you have, you,
Irving.
Let me finish. Let's make a deal. You've got Wayne Brady and Jonathan Magnum and Kat Cora and Tiffany Coyne. Price is Right, you've got Drew Carey and the models. Celebrity Name Game, you've got Craig Ferguson, and he is on his own. He is the only one out of those games that does not have a co-host, that is on his own, that takes the premise of pyramid just done celebrity style, and he's the person that makes the show and the premise work. We've seen it fail with Donnie Mid. We've seen it fail with Game Show Network. Craig Ferguson is the person that gets it done. And whether or not you like it or don't or agree or disagree, the award is well-deserved, and he deserves to win it. Do I think Wayne Brady is fantastic? Absolutely. I would have loved to have seen him win the award. I would have loved to have seen Drew win the award. But when you get right down to it, if you're looking for an MVP, it's clear to see why Craig Ferguson won.
Truth be told, I would have loved to have seen Brooke Burns win the award.
Brooke Burns has got a beast co-host.
I know. To your point, absolutely. And your point is very valid. As great as Let's Make a Deal is with the ensemble cast, hurts the individual's chances. I get what
you're
saying.
Bingo. Absolutely right.
So congratulations to all the winners, and to our boy Randy West for announcing it. Great job. I heard some of the snippets from Randy. So
And they're good friends at The Remotes.
Yes.
Got a shout out to The Remotes.
Yes, the artist formerly known as Ceramic Dalmatians, doing TV music justice.
Yes, but yes. But speaking of TV music, oh huh? Boy.
Oh boy, indeed.
Chap 11.
Yes.
Yeah, and this, if it wasn't for the daytime Emmys, this would be what we would be starting off with. American Idol is created by a group that you've seen all the time called Project 19. And, of course, it's 19 Records. And, of course, you have Nigel Lithgow and Simon Cowell and Psycho.
Simon Lithgow and all that other stuff. Simon Fuller. Simon Fuller, he's the chief high muckety muck.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Project 19 declares Chapter 11, which in all sorts of purposes is bankruptcy. And now, before you think, well, what's the big deal? This is the group that's behind Idol. This is the group that's behind So You Think You Can Dance. This is the group behind a whole bunch of performance and entertainment shows for Fox.
It's probably why Idol
does not get renewed.
It's also actually behind MTV's broke-ass game show, if you follow the liner notes, because 19 is owned by a group called Core Media Group, and they own a bunch of production companies. And one of them is 19, and another one is B70, which does Broke-Ass Game Show for MTV.
That's a metaphor for this story, isn't it, folks?
Oh, yeah. Just a slight metaphor there, Jim.
Yeah, but the question that has to be asked is, okay, the people behind Idol, which is gone, the people behind So You Think You Can Dance and many other shows, I think both domestically and internationally, if I'm not mistaken?
Correct.
Yep.
What does this mean here in the States going forward and globally, quite frankly?
I'll say this. What I think it means for the States is that Simon Cowell better be gold on America's Got Talent this year.
Mm. Yeah. Now, a bit of background here. Core Media was part of a joint venture between 21st Century Fox and a global management company that merged Apollo's Endemol and Core with Fox's Shine Group, but Core continued operating separately and did not become part of the Endemol Shine Group. Could that have saved the show?
No.
So Core becomes part of Endemol Shine, show still goes away.
Yeah, I mean, because again, here's the thing. Right now, remember, the fact that Idol and 19 Entertainment haven't had a major hit musically in what? In what, 5 years?
At least.
When was Phillip Phillips big?
Season 11. That was 5 years ago.
So yeah,
okay.
5 years.
Okay. And the fact is that they've never really got that, and that's why they've been bleeding money ever since. And remember, also the fact that 19 Entertainment has also been bleeding money from ad revenue, even though their money, because remember, they've only been owned 50% by Fox and 50% by this Apollo Global Management Company. They've been bleeding cash for a long time.
And they did it to themselves.
And their intake wasn't any better, because if you remember, it was Coke and AT&T that pulled out of the final season.
Mm-hmm. And that's big money. I don't care about the ratings. Just having those two big name brands, that's money.
That is money.
But they did it to themselves with how they fractured a once proud franchise. Simply put, they put themselves in this position by, you know, not keeping up with the times and, you know, keeping up with shows like The Voice, like America's Got Talent, more so. You know, it just, I have no sympathy for the devil is what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Gotcha.
I'm not going to go that far. I do have sympathy. And it's too bad because it was a great show. But they ran it into the ground. They didn't do what they needed. And more importantly, they didn't change with the times. And, you know, we've had this discussion on this. Now, what does it mean for 19? It means a lot of things for 19. For starters, they've got to do the one thing that they haven't been able to do for the past 6 years, which is reinvent themselves. They seriously need to reinvent themselves because they are in big danger of not having any products in the United States when the summer's over. So they've got to figure out what they need to do here.
It's a serious gut check moment here for the folks in that company. And yeah, I do have sympathy for those who work behind the scenes. But the higher ups that make the big decisions,
right. Anyway, moving on.
And by the way, what happens is that what they will do, they hopefully will reorganize and find another property that will get the money. They're not, 19 Entertainment isn't out of business yet. People file bankruptcy protection all the time.
Every day
in this
country.
It's just a question of credit. You know, so there you go. Just saying.
This isn't going out of business. It's about getting down to business. An old GM commercial.
I like that. But let's go to a show that, in my humble opinion, should be out of business because we've gotten more on that theory that being the biggest loser doesn't make you really the biggest winner after all, Chico.
No, not really. There's an actual story that came out in the New York Times about how The Biggest Loser was actually the winners, they lose all the weight, and at the same time, give them 5 or 10 years, they will boomerang and gain some of it back. And there's actually
sure, in other news, water is wet and the grass is green.
Right.
Exactly.
There, and Madonna's at six with 50 people. What's I don't understand.
The password is yo-yo.
No offense here to anybody, but, you know, when you lose weight, when you diet, when you do all these things, and you're not on the same regimen, and keeping in mind the regimen is exercising for at least 8 to 10 hours every day, of course it's going to go back because you're going to kill your metabolism.
That's actually the science I was going to get to. It's like the science.
But that's science. This isn't anything new here.
Yes,
or maybe it's just new because maybe the idea finally crept in people's heads going, oh, there is no magic cure for losing weight and for dieting and for exercising. I mean, we're all here. No offense to anybody here, but we're all a bunch of fatties.
Yeah,
we're all working on it, though.
We're all
working on it while losing weight, but we're still a bunch of fatties. Obviously, we got fat for a reason, and that's because we ate too much and we worked out not enough. And you have to figure that, yeah, we're losing the weight, but first of all, we're not losing 8 pounds a week, which is incredibly unhealthy to do, by the way. You want to lose 1 to 2, maybe 3 pounds a week. That's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a way that you can maintain. If you go up and down like a yo-yo, you're going to kill your metabolism and you won't lose anything. Again, this is science. This is not, it's science, it's biological science, but it's not rocket science.
No question about it.
So my question to you is, Chico, why is this news?
I guess it's news because if you think about it, what's been going on with The Biggest Loser over the past couple of years is that it's been mired in controversy. And now, you know, once you're mired in controversy, next thing you know, all of the layers of the onions are starting to peel off and all the skeletons
Hold on a second. Let me just make this real quick. The reason Gordon's right. This isn't a story. The only reason why it is a story is because it's made in the New York Times. There have been tons of articles over the last 5 years that have shown how screwed up The Biggest Loser is, okay, and how bad the weight loss program, the weight loss industry on television is. It's going to kill somebody eventually.
No question. Here's the bottom line. We all have problems with the way The Biggest Loser does what they do. You wouldn't. Here's the thing. You have a problem with it. Don't watch the show. It will go away.
I don't have a problem with it at all. And here's why. You're here to make entertainment. You're here to put on a show. You have 13 weeks where you can change your life. You sign the contract. Nobody's putting a gun in your head saying, do this or your dog eats it. Everybody is a willing participant in the play. The play has 3 acts. What you do in act 4 is up to you. Nobody's putting the gun in your head. It's just sort of the same thing like American Idol. Yes, guess what? You're going to be on TV. If you sing well, you're going to win a contract. If you sing badly, America will make fun of you. Nobody is making you sign the contract. This is the dopiest thing ever because, you know what? The people that were big old fatties like you and me get to sign a contract. Get to be in a gym 8 hours, and guess what? You get to change your life. And it's up to you whether or not you're going to be stupid enough to go back to the habits that got you there in the first place.
Okay, Jason, you actually brought this.
No, completely and utterly not news. If you sign it, and then you go back to your old eating habits, it's your own damn fault.
But here's the thing, and you're right, Gordon. But who in their right mind is going to keep up with the work rate you're given in that 13-week for glorified sake fat camp? Nobody in their right mind.
That's not true. That's not true. The fact is that we all know, and Gordon, you know all this, eating well and doing all this stuff is a choice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that if people want to – and even if you cut it down to 2 hours a day, or even an hour a day, it will keep you going. The fact is that most of these people who go on these shows and sign the contracts, and believe me, we've seen all of them, okay, in many ways, shape, or form, the fact is that they just – they don't have the – they are
the
not –
willpower, the wherewithal.
They're not taught.
How do you think these people got into the positions to begin with?
They have no willpower and wherewithal. I know that. Look,
they don't know how they're taught They're not taught a lifestyle to go from here to the end of your life. They're taught a lifestyle to go from here to the end of the show.
Exactly, and that's all they care about.
It's not even a lifestyle. You had a whole season of big, fat, out-of-shape Olympians show up. So it's clearly not about, education or being brought up.
It's about quick fix.
It's about 12 to 14 people who have made extremely stupid choices that have let their bodies spiral out to the point where they need to be on a TV show to get their life back together again. And kids, if you need to get your life back together again, a game show is not exactly where you want to be doing that.
Agreed. We could go around in circles on this because the show pisses me off beyond belief. But we have more important things to cover since we've been off for an extra week. So let's move forward to Jeopardy, if we could, please.
I agree. This is a complete non-issue, a complete non-story, and people just need to get over this.
We've got a whole lot of shows. We have four shows we need to go over, and five. We're going to go over them right now. Okay, first of all, Jeopardy has two Mega Champs going right now. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, one outdid the other one. Andrew Powell got pow-powed by a guy named Buzzy Cohen. And Jason, does this guy look like Clark Kent to you?
No, he looks like Waldo, but again, it's the best 1-2 combo punch in the season so far. Both good players, both balanced, both will be in the Tournament of Champions.
Definitely shaking up the TOC for sure at the late stage of the season.
Indeed.
What do you think, Gordon?
It's sort of what I'm saying last time, which is, you're starting to get into the summer months. I mean, you may sweep you and have some really good competition. But it's sort of the competition starts to decrease at around this point. So I can see a couple of Mega Champs here.
Yeah, well, Buzzy's going to have a bit of a break on him because we've got the Teachers Tournament going on right now. We will talk about that in detail next week. So you might want to tune in for that. Also going to have, I believe we're going to have Kids Week from DC, if I'm not mistaken. And we're going to have Power Players Week after the Teachers Tournament.
And that was filmed, I believe, just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, last month in D.C., absolutely.
At Constitution Hall, a very rare road trip for Jeopardy.
If I'm not mistaken, a good friend of the site, good friend of ours, Heather Hurley, was actually at the tapings.
Yeah, she was. And they have a revamped, shall we say, game board just for, I think, that purpose. Bigger, less, or more HD-worthy, shall we say.
More 4K worthy, if you ask me. I think they started taping that stuff in 4K now. Bring it back to cover. Bring it back to cover. Bring it back to cover. Anyway, let's get into the final here so we can say we had a little bit of irreverent happy fun here. Final Jeopardy in literary characters.
I'm gone. See ya.
We got a promo. That's a promo. Anyway, in 1929, London's Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital was given all rights to this character created 27 years earlier.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I thought of one character and I realized what the correct answer was and why. And the correct answer is, who is Peter Pan? I was thinking Winnie the Pooh, similar idea, but
For some reason, I'm thinking Paddington Bear. I don't know why, but go ahead.
Okay, first of all, if you think Winnie the Pooh takes place in a hospital, you're sad. Anyway.
Yes. Yes, I know.
Oh, bother.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, Eeyore's stages do take place in the hospital because he always has his tail falling off, but that's neither here nor there.
Okay. You know what I put down?
What did you put down?
I put, who is Ted Cruz, the Canadian clown?
Oh,
jeez.
That's what Republicans
are. That's another podcast.
Stay Blue staying on Spectrum One, Smurf.
Nice one, Jay. Seriously, very good.
Okay, moving on. Let's go to Survivor. Jason's on the board.
What is Buzzy's total as we're
I'm a moron. Anyway, 101,402. For 5 days, he will be back in a matter of weeks.
That's a nice amount of dollars, I must say.
Yeah, that is a nice amount of dollars. How much is Jason going to be winning on Survivor? Not
zero
the million.
Dollars.
No, but let's go back to the week before. Okay.
Yeah, this is the week where after Ty decided, you know what, I'm not going to give you the idol.
Yes, and the look on Scott and Scott's face was insane. Okay.
It was absolutely insane. They just felt blindsided. I think they decided to play with the blind side in the immunity challenge because that was actually the word they had to spell out.
Well, we're gonna get there in a minute. The reward challenge was won by Cindy and Michelle last week because they were divided into pairs. There were seven and tethered at the waist. The teams raced through an obstacle course to retrieve three rings and throw rings on a three-pronged grappling hook. Jason was out of the challenge due to random draw. And what happened was Aubrey was brought onto the reward, which was, I believe, by helicopter to have a picnic on a water island. Okay. The immunity challenge was that the castaways raced out to a platform that had eight numbers, a series of symbols with numbers, and they had to get the combination to this box and spell out the word blindside. The person to do that who won the immunity was Michelle. And beat Julia. What happened was that they wanted to get Julia and Ty out, and yet again they don't vote out Ty. Julia's in the jury. Okay. This week we had two teams of three doing a very cool version of now Gordon, I don't know if you saw this. It was a very cool version of a classic Survivor puzzle. What happened was that two teams of three had to swim out to a version of the labyrinth, okay? A very big version of the labyrinth. And each team member had to get a ball and then eventually get all three balls in the center of the hole through a series of moving around. And it was really, really well done. So the people who won the reward were... I believe it was Jay. Who won the award, Chico? You have it there in front of you?
Give me a second. I just need to punch it up here.
Yeah, because I just wanted to make sure who I got it right.
Now, my magic window's being a little slow. All the resources are devoted to
recording. The winning team actually got, I believe Ty was part of it. They got to go to a wildlife sanctuary, have a very big picnic, and actually eat in a wildlife sanctuary, which was really cool because there was an elephant there. And I know Jason was there. I believe Michelle was there. And I believe Ty was there, I believe. And it was, and I think Cindy, Joe.
It's Ty, Jason, and Michelle, yes.
Right. And then Michelle, Aubrey, and Joe were on the outs in camp, and Cindy was having none of it. Okay, the immunity challenge was a very, very cool one. Okay, what they had to do was balance a table and spell the word immunity on it. Except what they had to do was take it one block at a time and stack the word immunity. I don't know, Gordon, if you saw this challenge, it was a pretty cool one. This was one of the better challenges in a while.
Yeah, reminds me of something I saw on Hollywood Game Night, actually, and it's actually pretty ingenious.
And Cindy wins immunity, okay? But here's the deal. Ty says he's got his plan going, and he wants to get Michelle out. So he said point blank that he's going to use the extra vote. So Cindy... and Michelle and Aubrey ain't really having none of that, pretty much, because they don't like Ty being the superpower guy. So at Tribal, Ty uses his extra vote. He uses his vote and his extra vote to vote Michelle. However, that really didn't help much.
No, it really didn't.
Because Jason was eliminated 3-2-1.
It was actually 4-2-1.
4-2-1. Okay. Yeah.
Kyle Jason voted off Survivor tonight.
Yeah, and the thing is now, at this particular point, how bad off is Ty right now, Gordon?
If you have a penis next week, and you don't win immunity, you lose.
Basically.
Even with the idol.
Well, right now,
even Ty, with the idol?
I would not be surprised if Ty ends up using the idol next week. Because it seems
Ty's
like...
Ty's not going to have a choice. He's going to have to use the idol next week.
Exactly. I mean, he has absolutely no choice in the matter. He has absolutely no allies in the matter, if you think about it.
Because there's only, what, two guys left at the moment? Which is Jason and Ty and Joe.
Jason was voted out, so yeah, Ty and Joe now.
That's Ty and Joe with Aubrey, Michelle, Cindy. That's it, five. Right? 3-2.
Yep.
Yeah,
so,
pretty much. So what's going to wind up happening, and again, this is why you need to get rid of the guys earlier, by the way. So I don't know why they did what they did, but because they did what they did, you're now in a situation where it's going to be 2-2 going in, because Ty's going to bail himself out at least once.
And the funny thing is that if I'm not mistaken, he can only do it once, because...
Right.
The idol is only playable in the round of five.
Yep, and if I'm not mistaken, there's only five left next week, right?
I believe, yeah, because as I said,
like
Aubrey, Michelle, Sydney, and Joe,
Ty. So if he's going to play the idol, next week's got to be the one to do it. And then it's got to be all him till the end. So this is going to be the next couple of weeks are going to be very interesting to watch indeed.
Well, yes, exactly. And the thing is that you think Ty is the one with the most vulnerability right now. Okay.
Well, Ty will be safe for 1 week, but he's basically has two episodes. I'm not going to say weeks. He's got two episodes to figure out how he's going to play the end game. Because now you're in the end game point where you're going to start thinking, who do I bring with me to tribal? Who do I get rid of, and who do I have the best chance of winning? Mm-hmm. And if you're the girls, you must, with a capital M, get rid of Ty.
Right.
Exactly.
You cannot let him get to the finals. You let him get there, you lose.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I mean, because Ty, I think, has alienated too many people right now. I don't think he wins.
If you want to get him, if you want the easy win, then you bring Ty to the finals and take your chances then.
But the problem is this. You're going to have a jury, assuming that Ty is there, you're going to have a jury of males over females.
Are they all going to think the same way? Like, you know what? All of us are here because of the All-Female Alliance. And I think...
Exactly, like, which is why you cannot let Ty, who is not part of that alliance, stick around.
But the thing of it is, do you reward the gameplay or do you punish for falling victim to it? That's the classic jury quandary, as it were.
Pretty much. Now let's go from Khao Rang in Cambodia to Indonesia. Actually. Let's cover 2 weeks of The Amazing Race. Okay, when we left the racers last time, for the second time in a row, Sherry and Cole had to perform a speed bump. Okay? They had to go to the Goalawa Temple and find a marked food cart and prepare and sell 10 bowls of a traditional Indonesian meatball dish known as bakso. And once they had 10,000 Indian rupees, I think, Indonesian rupees, they had to... Okay, they had to finish that to eat and to continue racing. In the leg's first roadblock, one team had to harvest salt, then collect seawater in two baskets and shake the water out onto a bed of volcanic sand to make it evaporate. And once they received the clue, they had to scrape the salt to fill a four plastic bag and receive their next clue. Then they had to do a second roadblock, which the other team member had to do, which was perform in the annual Bali Kite Festival and assemble a 30-foot-long traditional kite with a team, and they had to fly it along the beach to receive their next clue. And in that week, Tyler and Corey finished first, and by a few minutes because of the last thing, they had to go to a pirate ship, Zach and Rachel finished sixth, and they were eliminated. From the pirate ship,
don't forget, gotta remind everybody, Teller and Corey, they got $5,000 apiece.
Okay, good. So, what happens is that they had to, in this particular case, they had to get to a boat, they dove underneath, got a clue, and then had to get the detour, which was haul or harvest. Okay. And Gordon, yes, I'm going to use some language here, okay? So in haul, teams had to grab 50 nuts, actually coconuts, and four chickens.
This is why I can't take you anywhere, Jason.
Yes, I know. And go from a side to side from in a bridge and actually get it to a vendor where they receive their next clue. In harvest, teams had to propel a canoe through a marked course where they would collect enough seaweed to cover a tarp on the beach. However, in a very, very, very start, Tyler and Corey U-turn, because there was a double U-turn in this leg, Brody and Kurt, very smart play. And I'm wondering why this hasn't been done sooner. In the second team, which was yet again Bernie and Ashley, they U-turned Tyler and Corey so that no one else could use the U-turn on anybody else. Gordon, have you this was one of the better plays, no?
If that's the team you want to get rid of, that is absolutely the play that you want to make, because you don't want to put any other team in peril. So if they knew that the one team was getting U-turned and they said, this is the team that we want gone, that's the play that you want to make. That's the perfect play.
And it worked, because Brody and Kurt, they gone. And
Tyler and Corey take first place again. This time they win an Alaskan cruise.
Right.
And
right now at this particular case in time, as we said, we've got five teams left and two episodes to go. Four teams left, actually.
Season finale is May 13th, so you have two episodes left.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, do you want to make any quick predictions, Gordon, or is this an anything can happen sort of thing?
I think it is an anything can happen, and it's, the interesting thing this year is that you have four evenly matched teams, but they're evenly matched for the wrong reasons, which is they're all over the place.
Yeah. You just need one equalizer point to just change the game, and I think we have a couple still left in the hopper. One place that they will not be cruising to is BLT Steak, where they will be visiting the winner of Hell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. I have a brief synopsis right here, but first, a disclaimer, Mr. Pepper.
In Hell's Kitchen, I'll just do it this way. In Hell's Kitchen, you had our two finalists. You had the lovely Ariel Malone from Kinnick, New Jersey. Yay!
Yay!
And you had someone else who cares about what their name is.
Oh, jeez!
The disclaimer here is, Gordon happens to know somebody. She knows somebody who knows somebody, and that somebody is in the final two.
Yes, that would be Mr. Ariel Malone from Tinnick, New Jersey.
Yes.
Keeping in mind that I live in New Jersey, keeping in mind that Ariel's father is someone that I bowl with.
Okay, so we're moving on to the final challenge here. It is on board.
We move on. First of all, we have the laughable five-plate challenge, which she loses by a half point. But we all know that the finals are staged anyway, so who cares?
Yeah, okay, Kristen actually has the advantage of picking her team first. She picks Ashley, Frank, Joe, and Chad. Ariel has Jackie, Manda, and Danny, and was left with Jared. So they ran through their menus. Kristen went through slowly and methodically. Ariel rushed through the menu, made sure everybody knew about it, and expected nothing more than excellence. She basically ran her kitchen like a drill sergeant.
And what happened was to me. I'll comment. Continue on after because I watched the episode. Go on.
Yeah, I watched the episode as well, and so did other Jason, Canadian Jason, which we want to have on the show sooner or later. So basically, it was your standard gamut of mistakes, most of them through Ariel's kitchen because her team was confused. Her team was confused. Chris, but here's the thing. Ashley kept a strong grip on her kitchen. Kristen ended up being flustered. None of her team was responsive to her orders. Manda mixed up timing. Jackie had a strong performance. Danny walked out of service. So now Jackie has to take over. Both teams end up finishing. But here's the thing. Ariel had control over her service while Kristen didn't.
That was the key.
The absolute key, and it led Gordon Ramsay to this final decision. I have the comment right here. Right from the very beginning, Ariel lets her presence be known. She was always outspoken, but she backed up her confidence with her cooking. Creative, talented, and unique, she's an out-of-the-box thinker who will make a great head chef at BLT Steak.
Well, you know, one thing that you saw, and I think it was only emulated in the final, a lot of people were there just to either be chefs or to be in front of the TV and to be in front of the camera. Ariel, from day one, was there to be a leader. And there's a difference between being just a cook and a chef and a leader. Mm-hmm. So I think the best person of the season won.
I agree. I think Ariel, once she had a couple of trips, she had a mental come to Jesus moment and got back on the horse, rode it straight to the win. Jason?
The thing was that to me, Ariel was one of those people who just was consistent. In other words, she never was too high, too low. She just kept going and going and going and going. And the fact is that a lot of these people, a lot of the people who lost were not, as Gordon said, wanting to win. She was there to win. She was there to win the whole thing.
She went DJ Khaled. Win, win, win.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Yeah.
Bingo.
Okay.
And the fact is that hopefully, if all works, that we will eventually speak to her about this, because I think it would be really cool to get an inside take on, you know, what that sort of thing is, because to me, I actually found a newfound respect for the actual show itself, Hell's Kitchen, to me, because watching it week to week, it's really intense. It's really a good show.
It is.
I know I'm coming late to the party, but
hence it's
a damn
been on
good
for
show.
What? How many seasons has this been?
This has been its 15th season.
Good God.
Not
wow.
By that'd accident, be one folks. Of the best produced seasons of the series.
Yeah, it's not by accident, folks. It's,
no, it's not.
You know, it's just that well oiled a machine. So congratulations to Ariel and
good luck. Because hopefully when I go out to Vegas in about 2.5 months from now, maybe she'll be doing it by then. Who knows?
Maybe you'll also see one of the top three of RuPaul's Drag Race. Gordon, help me.
Well, it's a possibility that you see the top three. And your top three are Bobby Drag Queen, not a surprise. Kim Chi, not a surprise. And Naomi Smalls, which is a little bit of a surprise. But it was against Cece Devane, who went home, which was not a surprise. You had your traditional lip sync, your traditional interview, but you did arguably have the three strongest drag queens from throughout the entire season in your top three.
Well, who do you think is going to win?
I'm sorry?
I was going to ask you, who wins?
It depends on what RuPaul's looking for. I thought up until the final three episodes, I thought it was Bob the Drag Queen to lose. But if you're looking at the underdog, most charismatic drag queen that's out there, it's going to be Kim Chi. I think she's got the whole entire package. I think she's got a great story. Her fashion sense is phenomenal and blows away the other two ladies right out of the water. Does she have the same personality as Bob? No. So that becomes interesting. If you want a comedian, it's going to be Bob the Drag Queen. If you want a fashion person, it's going to be Kim Chi. If you want someone that's not as good as either of them, but is equally good in both, it's Naomi. This one's a virtual coin flip. I'm actually going to say, just from the persona point, I think Kim Chi is going to pull off the upset. But I can easily see it Bob, and I can see it being Naomi. I think you have a coin flip here.
It'll be an interesting little final couple of home stretchness there. One of the judges, just want to tell, was Bianca Del Rio. Who actually... I just thought you'd be interested in knowing that.
Hmm.
But anyway, on that, I think we've covered enough for the last couple of weeks. I think we need to take a break, catch our bearings, get some Brain Vision news in the hopper, and afterwards, we're going to play a game of What Happens First? I was the only one who did that.
Aww.
I'm sad.
But you're so good at it.
Yes.
Okay. Can we do it one more time together?
When we get to it, sure.
Okay, sure, when we get to it. All right, with Jason Block, Jim Williams, Gordon Pepper, I'm Chico Alexander. Stick and stay with Spectrum One, your home for We Love to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 Republican candidates who we should send over to I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of There, and accidentally break the phone line so that they can never come back.
Rafael Eduardo Cruz.
And take Carly Fiorina with you, by the way.
Oh, poor thing.
Oh. Oh.
No, she's actually a rich thing.
It's true.
Yeah, she is a rich thing. We'll be back. Brain Vision is brought to you by Match Game of Thrones. It's what they live for. It's what they do. They drink and know things. And by the end of the hour, somebody is going to die. And spoiler alert, they get revived two episodes into the next scene. Peter Dinklage hosts. I am such a bastard. Okay.
Yes, you are.
Yo, Peter.
Nancy the Viking said, "Dumb Donald is really dumb."
How dumb is he?
Well, when the House of Lannister told her to get the biggest chest, he went out and got blank.
I said Amelia Clarke.
If she plays Cersei Lannister, yes.
Match and win. There you go.
Yes. But the thing is that speaking of match, we have to talk about that, but only if Gordon says this.
I was going to be silly, but I'm not going to be. Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
I don't know if you guys know this, but when Jim counts us in, he said 3, 2, blank.
Yeah, and
I said one, Gene!
Yes, and there's a reason for that. The bat that's shaped like a...
Wait. We've got to plug Doug here.
Doug Morris, Rock Tracks, 20th anniversary, Rock 104 in Mississippi, DougMorris.net. Listen! Okay, continue.
Jim does that so much better than I could. Anyway, now Jason.
Yes. The bat behind you is shaped like a giant magic marker.
Yes, it is. Oh, look, it's signed by Adam Neediff. How you doing, Adam?
Hey, Adam. Matchell Sheen Rayburn, yes. Available at Spectrum1.net.
But why are we bringing up all of these references? I'll tell you why.
You tell us.
ABC is bringing the blank back.
They are doing all the game shows this summer.
All the game shows this summer. All of them. You had a $100,000 pyramid, Celebrity Family Feud, 500 questions?
Yes.
Battlebots. We can't forget Battlebots.
I love how you glossed over the Bachelorette. That's your favorite.
No. But I was just going to say, there is a little something about 500 questions in there that I don't know if that's part of the media.
Oh, there is something about 500 questions, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Because there is somebody who is in the running for Hoe of the Week this week. But before we do, Alec Baldwin, ladies and gentlemen.
A perpetual hoe
is hosting the new edition of Match Game, ladies and gentlemen.
And it's taping in New York. The question I have is, because it's going to debut towards the end of June, when are the tapings?
When are the tapings? When is the casting?
This month, maybe earlier next month?
For me to try to get on a show and probably fail, but I'm going to go for it. What the hell?
But yeah, you know what? I'm looking forward to this. Our good friends to the north at Comedy Network Canada have proven that Match Game in the new millennium can be done in the here and now, but it's all about who they get to man the board, so to speak. Because if you remember, that version was produced by none other than good friend of the site, good friend of ours, Mr. Bob Bowden. But here we have Jennifer Mullen and Alec Baldwin being producers. All due respect to them, but they seem to be like format people. You need some creative behind the scenes as well.
Well, it's also all about the panel themselves.
It is all about the panel.
Match Game 90 didn't have... You had Charles Nelson Reilly as the only consistent, and from there you had a who's who of yay and nay types. Match Game 98, you had a permanent panel, and they were just bawdy as hell.
They also needed help with the writing.
Yes, poor Michael
Berger.
We
have no ideas, what do we do? Oh, Bill Kilcher!
Poor Michael Berger gets no respect. Go ahead, Gordon.
Now, Match Game 98, you had a lot of issues, but something that does not have a lot of issues is the date book, but there's a lot of shows. Rivals 3, season premiere. Thursday, the season finale of Project Runway All-Stars. Food Network star Comeback Kitchen is on Sunday. Monday, as previously mentioned, is Teachers Tournament Week, week number 2 on Jeopardy. And Tuesday, you have BattleBots, the Years Awaken. They graduate from a weekend spot to a weeknight spot. And finally, you have Mashup Week on The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal.
Which is a natural, should have been done long ago.
Jason, you were going to say something?
I was going, because you glossed over the fact of the whole Match Game thing. Of how colossal of this, that a bomb this is going to be. This is going to be terrible. This is going to be awful. Because what you're going to do is that because this is now, in my opinion, this is the Cards Against Humanity version of Match Game. And I think this is going to fail. I really do.
Well, if you've ever played Cards Against Humanity.
It's going to fail because, again, it's sandwiched between two other game shows. And if you lead off or get through with Steve Harvey, I think it will not fail. But the question becomes, is this the right game show to pull out I withhold judgment until I see what Baldwin can do with it.
That would be
Alec Baldwin, and that would be your host of Match Game.
There's great boom-bust potential with this. It's either going to succeed big time, or it's going to bust horribly, and there's no middle ground with this. Again, it comes back to the age-old question, can double entendre work once the lingerie has been taken off the lady, as it were?
Again, Darren Rose and Sean Cullen and the other panelists, I wish I knew her name.
They had a couple of names. Norm MacDonald frequented.
Norm MacDonald frequented. Colin Mockery.
Yes.
A bunch of great Canadian comedians. And also there was the seat one token American.
There's always one.
Yeah, but they're on Celebrity Name Game nowadays.
Woohoo, cheeky monkeys. let's down something and get loaded, gentlemen. And a little radio news. What?
Yeah, there's a bit of radio news. First of all, casting couch announcement. If you are in the Wichita area and you want to be a contestant of Wheel of Fortune, the Wheelmobile is coming. Go to ksn.com/Wheelmobile for more information.
I did the Wheelmobile thing when it was in Atlantic City. If you haven't done it, just do it because... forget just trying to get on the show. The people, I've said this for years, and I truly believe it now, people who audition for game shows are among the nicest people in the world. You're going to make some friends there.
4 years ago, I did the Wheelmobile when it was in Fayetteville, and not only do you meet some of the nicest people, I actually ran into somebody I went to college with.
Oh, nice.
Gordon, we did the Wheelmobile once in Atlantic City. That was a hell of a lot of fun.
That was a ton of fun. I really enjoyed it. I strongly suggest that people should go do it. I think that's a very smart move.
Yes.
Wait. Okay. Not so much of a smart move is the next Fully Loaded thing. Loveline, if you remember back in the day, back when it was on MTV, it's still going on radio in the New York area. 101.9, if I'm not mistaken, is... about to come to an end. Show gave rise to the careers of Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew Pinsky, and of course we can't forget Psycho Mike Catherwood, Chain Reaction.
Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let you guess which one is the bad seed there, folks.
Yeah,
Adam
I know.
No.
No. Adam Carolla, who...
Dr. Drew. No.
Dr. Drew, yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes, exactly.
So, bit smart to finally let him go do his thing, but smart we have here, Gordon.
I was going to ask, I'll look it up on my own, if Loveline was an iHeartRadio property.
I will look.
Because iHeart's bleeding $15 billion. Hey, Ryan Seacrest, how you doing?
Yeah, that's not very smart, and neither is this.
What do you got?
Who you got?
You want to know what I got?
I want to know what you got.
You think you know what I got?
No, I have no idea what you got. What do you got?
Now, you know what? It's a little bit bland. However, it's there for a reason. Are you smarter than Core Media for the disaster that they have put on in terms of American Idol? How do you blow through a couple of $1 billion worth of revenue? This is what I want to know.
Ryan Seacrest, next question.
Yep.
Yeah. So now, you know, I'm wishing them a speedy recovery. I don't think I'm going to get it, but I wish them well.
All right.
Now for some haterade. One of the game show contestant variety, and the other one not of the game show contestant variety.
Can I have some ice with my haterade, please?
Why, surely. We start with Daniel Vecino, who said, Pharrell Williams didn't defend me when I got with the eulogy, and he pretty much accused... Pharrell Williams of booting him off the show.
Oh, great. So never mind the fact that you just didn't match up with everybody else. Or
and
never mind
the other piece of hatery that we have, and I don't know if this is hate or love, or I don't know, Caitlyn Jenner. Hi, Caitlyn. Is going to be posing... with the Olympic gold medal for Sports Illustrated.
Wait for it.
Naked.
Boom, dose the dynamite.
What? Wait. What?
I read this and...
there are just some things you just can't unimagine.
Okay.
Once again, hurting the LGBT cause, one new story at a time. Caitlyn Jenner.
I don't know if it's hurting the LGBT cause. I think it's very brave for Caitlyn to do. And I think it's fantastic of that. And my concern isn't anything about what her sexuality is or what she's physically going to look like. My concern is more of seeing a 60-year-old person naked.
Not unprecedented. Who did we have in the body?
Joan Collins did it.
No, I was thinking in ESPN the magazine a couple of years ago on the body issue. They had an older athlete. The golfer. His name?
Oh gosh,
Greg Norman.
No, from South Africa.
Gary Player.
Gary Player. That's who it was. Gary Player posed. Yep. So there's a precedent.
There is a precedent. It's also a bit of a world travel involved.
Yeah, because he's from South. Let's go global.
Okay, you're learning the art of the segue.
Yes.
Okay, so Pointless Celebrities is still going strong in the UK, and again, props to Alexander Armstrong and Richard Osman for all the great work that they do there, especially on Danger Mouse. That's on Netflix. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that yet, but if you're just a slight aside, if you're a big fan of Danger Mouse, it's on Netflix. Go watch it.
Awesome. I do not Netflix and chill, but never mind that.
Anyway, so Keith Chegwin and Ian Lee were Cheggers and Ian, yeah.
Oh, boy.
They were on a team on Pointless Celebrities, and they have to... And one of the things they had to do was... They had to decipher the name of a group based on a picture. One of the pictures was a couple of young girls in a spice shop.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was the Spice Girls. They said Quarter Shop.
Oops.
And yeah. Of course, because the internet is always watching, we get Twitter going crazy over a perceived racist blight. An example here, unbelievable racism from Keith Chegwin on Pointless Celebrities, thinking clue for Spice Girls was Corner Shop. Or, haha, Pointless Celebs just said Corner Shop because it was two Indian girls stood next to some spice. Hashtag racists.
Oh, please. Seriously? Yeah.
It's because the internet, Jason. Because yes. That's what you do on the internet.
Text chat warriors.
Yeah, pretty much. All right.
No, that's not the most offensive thing Keith Chegwin's ever done. Think of that naked jungle show, folks.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say. Well, there was the time he would walk around the Big Breakfast naked. Right? It was the big... Or am I thinking of Steve Jones? I don't know. Gordon, get me out of this.
Pyramid game. Hey.
Yes, I will. Here's some media hosts. We like some media hosts.
Oh, yes.
We have a 50-foot media hose.
Attack a 50-foot more media hose. Ah!
It sprays, too.
All right. In this week's odometer, Ryan Seacrest has signed a 4-year deal for New Year's Rockin' Eve, so you'll see him for 4 more years. You'll see Andy Richter on a new episode of Food Fight. You will see... What else are you going to see? You are going to see Billy Gordell, Todd Newton, Karina Ricco, Paige Collins, and everyone at Monopoly Millionaires Club. Thank everyone else as they fade back into obscurity.
Mm-hmm.
Womp womp.
Served a better fate.
Well, Monopoly Millionaires Club, everyone involved with it. Again, it's been a hell of a ride. Let's hope they find another horse.
Yes.
Pony.
Meanwhile, Vince Neil, David Faustino, and Stacey Dash are going to be set for cameos in the fourth Sharknado film. I'm sure everybody's going to be real happy about that.
Oh, Jason loves the Sharknado.
A contestant on season two of 500 Questions.
Yes, Ken Jennings.
That's what we're going to say. Ken Jennings, 500 Questions.
Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani are going to sing a duet on The Voice. Aww.
I wonder what What's-Her-Face thinks.
And the Bachelor star, JoJo Fletcher, was nervous going in, according to the former Bachelor star, Sean Lowe. But JoJo has gotten it together. Isn't that nice, Chico?
I guess you're trying to say JoJo's got her mojo back.
Not as nice as Bobby Flay and Gordon Ramsay in a cook-off, but go on.
But those aren't the biggest hoes of the week, are they, Gordon?
No, they're not. And there is only one media hoe it could possibly be, and he could be the leader of the free world, and that is Donald Trump. Congratulations to him for winning the Republican nomination.
Oh, there is a honorable mention, though. Michael Strahan. Michael Strahan.
Michael Strahan has been very busy getting into Good Morning America and then getting into a pissing battle with Kelly Ripa.
Yeah. And actually winning an Emmy.
But imagine what happens when they want a daytime Emmy together.
A little bit of controversy, if you mean.
No, actually, it's rather civil. Moral of the story,
yeah.
Winning takes care of everything.
No. No, because Kelly will bask in the wind plenty of times because Strahan is leaving live next Friday.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I have heard, believe it or not, I've got a media hoe about that. It was rumored on Page Six that Regis Philbin was approached to come back.
And he pretty much gave the Jim Cornette treatment. Thank you, bleep you, bye. But actually, I'll tell you who is rumored. Anderson Cooper.
Ryan Seacrest came up once or twice.
Neil Patrick Harris, too. I believe.
NPH needs to host a game show. He'd be amazing. Just saying.
You mean a good one?
yeah, not a reality game hybrid cheeky monkey, whatever the heck it is, song and dance and little seltzer in your pants kind of thing. No.
No. All right.
And those are your hoes, are they not?
Those are your hoes.
Shut down the Choppler.
I am shutting it down. And what do we got in round act, the next round, whatever?
In act three, we're in act three.
We're going to triple the points, Jason.
Yes, we're going to play, everybody, What happens first, which is, of course,
the American version of what takes place primary.
Yes, exactly.
Right after this word.
But commercials take place primary, so you have to listen to this first.
Okay, I'm listening to this now.
All ears.
Right?
I believe, yes.
We're waiting for you, man.
Game Show Newsnet has been brought to you by Cards Against Humanity Match Game.
Game
pull out the bigger, blacker dick card. Jr. pull out the menage a trois. And Tom Brady's balls may not be the only ones deflating. Cards Against Humanity Match Game. Hosted by Alec Baldwin, which shows you don't have to have the biggest, blackest dick to be one.
Oh my god!
In before Tracy Morgan cameo. Now!
Oh my, wow. Excuse me, break of the year. Seriously, wow.
Gordon Pepper, take a bow.
Wow, holy cow.
Oh. When Gordon brings the goods, he brings the goods, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh man, Gordon, fantastic. That was great.
Does that mean, do I get a commercial promo from that?
Yes, please.
We'll work on that, absolutely.
We'll work on that.
But in the meantime, it's time to play America's fastest growing questioning sensation.
What happens
first? Oh, sorry, we could only afford the Ronco music, so if you, anyway, no, I'm kidding.
It's a very, very, very simple game. All you have to do is think what happens first. Chico, start us off.
Oh, be happy to. Okay, so Ryan Seacrest and Mario Lopez are two of the rising stars in our genre. They're both known for reasonably popular reality shows, but who hosts a primetime quiz first? Ryan or Mario?
Oh, wow.
That's kind of a flawed question because one of them already has. I assume you mean...
No, that's canceled. Who hosts one next?
I understand what you're saying. Okay.
When's the last time you heard from Mario Lopez exactly?
That would be last summer with America's Next Dance Crew, actually.
That's true.
Yeah, that doesn't count. Ryan Seacrest is going to host a quiz show first.
Yeah, it's going to be Seacrest, but again, you've got other people doing... Yeah, it's going to be Seacrest. Lopez is very happy where he is, and that's not doing game shows, actually.
Being a perennial panelist, at least.
I would be happy sitting next to Carissa Thompson, too. Hey, Carissa, how you doing? That's creepy. No. I'm gonna go say Seacrest because, well, he has all this time now, you see, because he's not doing the Idol and some of his reality shows are off the air. People love the Ryan Seacrest. He's like the meatloaf. You feed him the meatloaf, they eat the meatloaf. By the way, Seacrest, I don't know if we touched on this last episode, he's gonna be a part of NBC's Olympics again as their late night host.
Not again, not a shock, because I believe he has a deal with the Today Show too, doesn't he?
Yes.
That's fun. He and Carson Daly have deals with the Today Show, and I'm sure they're BFFs.
That's not awkward at all.
No.
Gordon, Chico, you're next.
No, Chico, you didn't answer.
Oh, yeah. Ryan Mario Lopez is doing extra. He's not hurting for work. Ryan Seacrest can always use something else to do. Give it to Ryan.
By the way, Mario, an Emmy winner with extra. There you go.
Yes, he is.
Okay, Gordon.
All right. As you will see, The Price is Right hosts the Primetime Specials Reality Edition. That is May 23rd. Not so coincidentally, that falls right at the end of Survivor. So, what happens first? A male on Survivor wins $100,000, or anyone on The Price is Right Primetime Special wins $100,000, keeping in mind that the Survivor finale will debut before The Price is Right.
Oh, wow.
You're giving me... Lord, forgive me for saying this. You're going penis or the field here is what you're giving me here, Gordon.
Yes, exactly.
That's exactly what I'm giving.
And when given the choice between penis and the field, I always go with the field. Yeah. So, I think somebody's going to win the big money, the $100,000 on prices right before that happens. I mean, they're gonna put a couple of cookies up there. You have
again,
to play.
I agree with Jim. I don't see where Ty or Joe have a prayer beyond the final four. It would be something if they find a way to pull a game out of their behind, but I just don't see it happening. Give me The Price is Right.
I do see it happening, and here's why I see it happening. Ty's going to be safe going to the final four. Keep in mind, he's got the happy idol. So he can pretty much determine who gets eliminated. If he's smart, and he is, he's going to get rid of a female. So, knowing that, you're going to have two guys and two women. If it only goes to a final three, you're guaranteed to have a guy in there. If it goes to two, I don't think there's any way that you're going to have both women take out both men. So I'm going to go with the pianist in this case. I think one of the guys will at least get to the finals of Survivor, which means one of them is winning 100,000.
We are a classy, classy show, Jason.
Well, I have to go with Gordon on this one because even though I think you're going to have a guy finish second. I think a woman wins Survivor, and I will call it right now. I think Aubrey wins Survivor. I really do. She's playing under the radar the whole way, hasn't offended anybody, and I'm just picking it out of just the final four right now, just as a guess, all right? That being said, I think a male gets second and wins 100,000. So, yeah, Survivor.
All right.
What's next?
Next up, Tale of Two quiz shows. One has Chris Harrison and is slowly coming, well, not slowly coming back into prominence, but it's not the show it used to be, thank goodness. And the other one has had an issue with Canada, but is slowly getting rectified. So what happens first? Jeopardy opens the test in Canada once again? Or Chris Harrison is nominated for a Daytime Emmy for Millionaire?
Wait. Okay.
Well, that's an interesting question. I think it's a simple one. I think Jeopardy opens to our friends to the north first. They're going to figure this thing out. They have to figure this thing out for the sake of, you know, that audience up there. They'll find a way. They'll un-geo-block or they'll go through some sort of CRTC literature. They'll find a means for our friends above that parallel to try out for Jeopardy once again online.
I'm going to say
Jeopardy, and I'm going to say Jeopardy because I don't think you're ever going to see Chris Harrison get nominated for an Emmy for Millionaire. So I'll go with Canada and Jeopardy just for that reason alone.
Mm. Yeah, I was going. You know, I was thinking about it. Yeah, I mean, again, but I have a question though.
Yes,
is Fab Life canceled?
It was canceled months ago. Yes.
Yes, it's been canceled. They're just running out the skein.
They're going to fill that slot. I think most of the ABC O&Os with, "Hey, Millionaire, how you doing?"
Are they pushing?
Because they also have Right This Minute now.
Yeah, well, that's not going to last either. I mean, yeah, it's cheaper.
But I want to ask Gordon a specific question. If the Millionaire goes back to the better daytime parts instead of like 1 o'clock in the morning, does that mean that Millionaire still has life and legs?
I think it'll get renewed just because I think it's a cheap show to produce. Part of which is that nobody's getting to the big money numbers, with the exception of Tony Hightower. I definitely think it has legs, but I think it's going to be a budget-related question more than anything else. But I think America, and they have a big enough budget, yeah, I definitely think that you'd see it for a number of seasons to come.
Okay.
But the product and quality of the product is good.
I think in medical terms, the best way to put it is critical but stable condition.
There you go. And so then I will say Canada as well. I was just asking from a
broadcast
producer perspective.
Sure.
Okay.
Chico, how do you weigh in?
I think Jeopardy is so close to opening Canada back up into the fold, while Chris Harrison has to at least wait until spring of next year, and hopefully they get the show back on TV because, hey, my Periscope dies.
And to Gordon's point also, if you look at the names who were up for daytime, for best host, what do you see? A lot of celebrities. Chris Harrison, not really a celebrity. He's one of the, dare I say it, old guard in a sense, in that he's a broadcaster first. Kind of spooky.
That'll get your old noggin jingle jangling.
EBG, baby.
Next up, Gordon.
All right, next one. You have, again, going to the new, as you can tell, I'm taking this from the new summer schedule of things that we're going to be seeing. One of which is, now, you know, we talked about Pyramid a little bit. We talked about Matt's Game a lot. And we talked about Celebrity Family Feud. One of the shows we did not talk about is To Tell the Truth, which will be debuting very, very soon on ABC. And I actually think they're going to be debuting, I want to say May, I guess not. No, they're debuting
early June.
So, what comes first? To Tell the Truth gets renewed, or The Bachelorette gets renewed?
Simple. Bachelorette gets renewed. And I'm not saying this to spite Chico.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not, because this is a show that is the old gray mare that will not die. I mean, it's been revived so many times in each of the last 6-7 decades, but it hasn't had staying power since the 70s. I don't see it having staying power now, even with Betty White, because Betty White is.
And Anthony Anderson. Here's the problem. It is The Bachelor for a reason. This show was shot last year.
The fact that they waited on it so long, considering Miss White isn't a spring chicken, I hate to say it that way, shocks me, quite frankly. But continue.
Yeah.
I was about to say, that this feels like burn-off to me. And I'm just going to say, it feels like that they're not going to treat this well. It's Bachelorette being renewed yet again.
Bachelorette is already a proven product. I do not see where ABC will give To Tell the Truth a vote of confidence. Frankly, because I still remember when Eliza Schlesinger, she of Separation Anxiety, posted a picture on her Instagram with her and Betty White from what looks to be the To Tell the Truth set. This was about 8 months ago. So take that for what you will, but at least The Bachelorette has proven itself.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same logic that everybody else had, which is Bachelorette's going to get renewed just because it gets renewed every single year. I think, To Tell the Truth, we'll have a better game show product, but it's not about that. It's about the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Anthony Anderson was begging for a format, and this just might have been it. Anyway.
We hope it works.
We really do. We'll go over this on a future broadcast. Meanwhile, next on the list here, we have a renewal for a show and a pickup for another show. Okay, so what happens first? MTV drops the U.S. version of Almost Impossible Game Show? Or GSN launches Winsanity?
Huh? Now, what? I don't get it.
Okay, Winsanity is a list-making show on GSN that premieres in June.
Right.
Okay, and if the contestant wins, the audience wins.
Right.
Right.
We've heard about that.
Meanwhile, NBC, MTV has greenlit a new version of the Almost Impossible Game Show, which was a big hit for ITV2, in which players must complete physical challenges ranging from the absurd to the outlandish to beat the game and win cash prizes. Such as riding tiny bikes over a mud pit, putting on oversized pants while running full speed on a giant treadmill.
But what was the question about the...
Which makes air first?
It's going to be the Winsanity one, because they've already shot it. Okay. Yeah. And the fact is that MTV treats game... I can't make the comparison.
Jason, just say it.
I'll help you. MTV treats game shows like you treat the gum that gets stuck to the sole of your shoe.
Oh boy, that's cleaner than where I was going. Okay, that's a hell of a lot cleaner where I was going.
Yeah, but the analogy's right, though, isn't it?
It is incredibly right. Excuse me. The fact that MTV, the home of the one of the greatest game shows of all time, in Remote Control, and Idiot Savant,
turn it up.
You know, come on. I mean, really, it's Winsanity.
They did well with Hip Hop Squares, but they mismarketed it.
Yeah, exactly.
They could have talked up the stars a bit. Instead, they talked up the game a bit. You don't talk up the game to millennials. You talk up the stars, bring up the game casually, and let that sneak into their consciences.
Ain't no party like a hip hop party like a hip hop.
Ask Christian Carrion, he knows.
Cribs, indeed. So yeah, which makes the air first? You say Winsanity or Almost Impossible Game Show on MTV?
Right.
Yeah, it's Winsanity. I almost want this. I'm half tempted to edit this question out of the show because I think it's so obvious, Gordon.
I'd like to go with Seen Under the Above, but
well.
If you're going to force me to pick one, it will be Winsanity. Final one. The slate of ABC game shows, or any slate of game shows, all of which get renewed for the next season, or Donald Trump is your president of the United States of America.
Oh.
Which happens first?
Now, let me just clarify. It has to be all of the Sunday games?
I'll go with all the Sunday games. I have faith in Match Game. Mm. I really, really do. Steve Harvey's easy. Michael Strahan's easy. Alec Baldwin's not as easy, but with a lead-in of a $100,000 pyramid, they'll do something with it.
Wrong-o. The fact is that A, Trump's going to win, and B, Alec Baldwin is such a loathsome personality. People hate his guts. They will not watch him host the show. That is the biggest mistake of this thing. So, given the question, Trump wins.
Jason, to your point, the word toxicity comes to mind when I think of Alec Baldwin. Very toxic personality. Not very likable. And he may come into this like it's an SNL bit where he's an actor hosting a game show. And that's a dangerous thing. But Donald Trump as president is also pretty dangerous. Do I need a passport if I want to move to Canada? I'm going to agree with Jason and it Trumples. Oh, God.
Gordon, help me here. Help your boy here.
I think you're beyond help. I'll give you a shovel.
Yeah. Let me shovel to China, take a permanent residency. How about that?
So you're going with Trumples?
I'll help Chico out with the speed round. Would you like that?
Oh, yeah, well, help me out with the speed rounds.
Just a quick plug. If you want Donald Trump to be part of the free Western world and see Jason Block, Steve is my behind it, I strongly suggest you go to Red State, Blue State on Spectrum One.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Wow. You're a great American, okay. Gordon.
Meanwhile, we're going to have a speed round right after Purple Rain. The drink that, it's complex, but at the same time, you can't get enough of it, and it's very addictive. Not many people get it, but then again, not many people need to. We miss you, Prince.
Damn it.
You'll feel like you're riding a little red Corvette everywhere.
Mm. Damn. Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, I know.
Just saying.
I know.
I had to throw in all of that, and I'll just say addiction sucks.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Why the Grim Reaper have to pick?
Into the speed round. Now. Survivor, who goes away?
Joe.
Wow. Yeah, Joe. I think Joe goes next week.
Yeah, you have three female votes. If the women want to stick together, that means Joe's going to be leaving. Dancing with the Stars. We haven't really talked about it, but who's leaving?
Well, let's see. We had Doug Flutie last week, and Von Miller this week in a little bit of a surprise. No,
I'm surprised.
A little bit. Is it weather time?
Shinjuku
doing well? I haven't watched this season.
Could be Jody Sweetin. Could be Jody this week. You know, I mean, you know, it could be Jody coming up real soon. Also, let's see. We got
somebody who is
Kim
not
Fisk. Tootie could be going too. It's either Jody. So some sitcom stars going this
way. There you go. That's the way it's brought.
Well, Tootie's already gone, but I'll tell you who it won't be. Niall DeMarco. Who saw this guy coming?
Gordon did, I believe.
Yeah.
He did. Gordon. I was the only one that said something. None of you guys wanted to listen to me.
No, Gordon is really good at this sort of stuff.
He's a savant.
He's very good at reading people. What's next?
Drag Race. Who makes the top two and who doesn't?
Well, no, it's the final three, and who's your winner?
Ah, okay. Well, who's the winner?
I'm gonna go with Kim Chi.
I'm gonna go with, in a shock, Bob the Drag Queen.
I don't think it'd be a shock if you won. He's probably the favorite.
Okay. Anyways,
I'll go with Kim Chi. I got a question for you. Amazing Race. Who makes the final three? Who does not make the final three? Excuse me. Rather.
Well, right now, Tyler and Corey are the odds-on favorite to be in the final three, but
think Great Cooling Company is going to have some problems.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's going to be Sherry and Cole who gets eliminated.
Fine, yeah, believe me, but they had a heck of a run. I will give
they
you
really
that.
They really did. They really, really did. Any male Twitter shout-outs, that sort of thing?
Well, I will also.
What about you?
I have a couple of things. I also want to congratulate Wheel of Fortune for finally getting a $100,000 winner last week.
Yes.
After 163 shows, and something we did not talk about in Brain Vision, CBS daytime slate gets renewed. Mm-hmm. That means season 45. Is that right? Season 45.
Mm-hmm. Season 45 of The Price is Right.
And season 8 of Let's Make a Deal. The press release was written a little funky, according to sources who I have spoken to.
So Drew is Drew's 10th season hosting.
Yes, second Emmy under his reign. And I got to tell you, season 44 has been nothing short of spectacular. Season 43.
Yeah. I was gonna say, it wouldn't surprise me if they get another one next year for this season.
Yeah. No. Not at all. I mean, again, they had the one clunker of a show, but this season has been outstandingly good.
One out of 165
really
ain't bad.
I'm looking forward to the mashup, by the way.
Oh, the mashup.
Yeah, that's going to be a really good week. I cannot wait for that. Can you wait for that, Jason?
Because no,
you got Let's Make a Deal. I got Prices Right. Put us together.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really amazing. I mean, again, we're coming down to, you know, the end of seasons for both. I mean, right now, at the moment, we've got about 24 shows left, about 5 weeks, I would say, left for
both shows, actually.
Like, yeah. I was saying very quickly, the mashup should have been done long ago, because think about it, the original Let's Make a Deal, the older versions, a lot of the games are very similar to the pricing games of The Price is Right. So, you know, it's peanut butter and jelly time.
Yeah, exactly. So, we will.
Twitter shout outs. First of all, Kelly Bihara, announcer of Sports Jeopardy, which will be on both Crackle and NBCSN starting in August. They're just wrapping up the taping of the old season of Jeopardy. So, and we just acknowledged that. Karina Rico, one of the principals on Monopoly Millionaires Club. Again, we've said it before, it's been a good ride. Hope they find another horse. Mm-hmm. Or in Jim's case, pony.
You son of a...
Yeah. Hey, Jim, lead us off on plugs, why don't you?
Well, yeah, I'll be more than happy to. A new edition? What? Well, I'll explain. New edition of Touch 'Em All is up right now on SpectrumOne.net, where we review some of the surprises in Major League Baseball in the opening couple of weeks. Hey, the Phillies are actually kind of relevant. Take that, Pepper. Kind of, not exactly, but it's early. We also have, sadly, a new segment called This Week in Suspensions, where we take a look at some of the lesser and the major infractions.
And there's going to be another one we're going to be talking about.
There's going to be another couple, actually.
Yeah,
Jake Arrieta pitched a no-hitter. We talk about that. Lots of audio goodies. And you'll find out why on the next edition I won't be hosting. There's a cliffhanger for you.
What?
There's a cliffhanger. I'll be a part of it, but I won't be hosting. You'll have to listen all the way through to find out why. Jason, we got to do Red State, Blue State.
Tomorrow night after work, and after SmackDown and all that good stuff, we'll segue into that. We got to talk about the really big news of Donald Trump is the presumptive Republican nominee. But what does that mean for the other side? Because Bernie wins again. Is the road still smooth on the other side?
And I feel queasy.
Yes, a lot of people do. And we will also talk about the White House Correspondents' Dinner and the use of the N-word.
Wow. Larry Wilmore kept it 100. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, yes.
Obama out.
Yes. And the appropriate or inappropriate comedy and all that good stuff. The North American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net and the Freakin' Awesome Network. We will review Payback and its implications for a card I will be at live 2 weeks from this coming Sunday, which is Extreme Rules at Newark, New Jersey. We will also talk about Ryan Reeves, excuse me.
What a do. Yeah.
What a do. Ryback, who has who has talked about his frustrations with the company and really
did not pay scale.
Yeah, and the pay scale and how right is he? And we'll talk about all the other wrestling news of the week.
Nuclear, if you will.
Yeah.
You want to talk about nuclear? Josh Norman decided, it wasn't worth the money to stay in Carolina, so he decided to pack up his accordion and move to the Washington, D.C. area.
Yes, and I believe, Jim, you and I are going to deal with that next week in a sort of another, post-draft edition.
We'll rehash the draft and the Eagles misdoing, in my humble opinion.
We'll go over the schedule.
We've got to look at the schedule.
Yes, which was announced a couple of weeks back. Yes. And we're going to talk about Tom Brady's balls one more time.
Yay! Hopefully for the final time.
We won't.
They keep on sagging, Chico.
Folks, this is the story that will never, ever die.
We also have Pixel Nation. We also have Spec Refs and so much more. And there are a multitude of ways we can say
now. Thank you, Carl, for that, by the way. Thank you,
multitude
Carl.
Of ways you can listen. Of course, SpectrumOne.net. Of course, the TuneIn Radio app or TuneIn.com. But we're also available on Google Play Music. We're also available again on iTunes. We're also available...
Stitcher Radio.
Yeah.
Did you say Player.fm?
Player.fm. If there's an app that plays podcasts, you can listen...
Yes, and I believe there is a direct RSS feed on SpectrumOne.net.
Thank you.
If you want to get up with Spectrum One, you can follow us on Twitter at SpectrumOneNet. You can follow this show on Twitter at GameShowNewsNet. Follow Jim at JWilliams on Air. Follow
Jason
at Beat the Block.
Yes,
follow
sir.
Me at Dino R. Alexander. Follow Gordon at GSNN Haterade. And before we go, or if you don't have the Twitter, you can just email the show at WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com. Before we go, time for another look at This Week in the UBA. Gordon?
This week in the UBA, we had the UBA Presents Old School. and almost every single UVA belt switched hands. The only one that stayed put was Doug Harani, who's still the UVA heavyweight champion, the world champion, and that's because he didn't bowl. Congratulations to Alex Perel, who's the new Northeast champion. Congratulations to Kathleen Sloan, who's the new Vixens champion, Northeast Vixens champion. Congratulations to Shaka Taylor, who is the new Cruiserweight champion, and congratulations to the Reaper crew, who are the new tag team champions. Lot of newness. This weekend coming up is the Night of Action, where some good brothers are going to be playing for a couple of $1,000 worth of stuff, and then we can clinch a playoff spot or the title 2 weeks from now.
Awesome stuff.
Very cool.
Can't wait for that. Again, big thanks to you for being a part of our show and allowing our show to be a part of you. Big thanks to Jason Block and Jim Williams for their input and wisdom as well.
Thank you very much. It's always fun to be around. Glad to be back and glad that you are feeling well enough to do this.
Indeed. Shameless self-promotion one final time. Follow me also on Instagram, instagram.com/JimWilliams on the air over the weekend. Because I got some playoff baseball, and I'll be taking pictures and video, and it's going to be fun. Who's the only Duke that you support, Chico?
Cumberland County College!
Thank you very much.
Okay. And again, thanks to Gordon Pepper for contributing his wisdom, his greatness, his knowledge, his snark.
Yay, snark.
And next week, we'll be talking more about the Jeopardy Teachers Tournament. We'll be talking Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal, Mashup Week. We're coming down the line on The Amazing Race. We're coming down the line on Survivor. We'll be talking about that. And we may just talk about the summer a bit.
Because you all know the shows don't stop when the seasons end on our favorite shows because there's a summer schedule.
Especially this year.
Oh, yeah, and it's going to be the greatest summer ever on the
in the history of our sport.
In the world's strongest game show podcast. Please be here on Spectrum One for that. For everyone at Spectrum One, for everyone at GSNN, I've been Chico Alexander. Our time's up. We thank you ever so much for yours. Until next time, remember, please be most kind to everyone you meet. Game over. And spread the love.